Welcome to Edgemont Bible Church in Fairview Heights, Illinois, where our mission is to glorify God by guiding people into a discipleship relationship with our Lord Jesus Christ. Let's listen in to today's message by our pastor, Douglas A. White.
Well, today I'm going to go part two, Becoming God. Last week, and we'll review some of last week because it's kind of tough stuff we're looking at here, and I want to be able to look it back over again. Let's go back and just review here. The first one in the image of God was Adam and Eve. They're the first ones that were made in the image of God. Now, being in the image of God, there were several questions I needed to ask myself. Let's say it this way. My outline I put, he's made like God, or they are made like God. He cannot be of the same essence, but he shares the attributes that God is willing to share. When God is creating this man, he is not creating himself. God can't create himself. So whatever he creates has to be lesser than himself. But he's giving that person his own image. You follow? He's giving Adam and Eve that same image. He's given them his own personality, if I can say it that way. He's given to them certain attributes that are theirs. They're going to be, but they're also shared by him. So you're going to know love. Why? Because he's love. You're going to plan. Why? Because he plans. You're going to think. Why? Because he thinks. You're going to be the parts that you know about of yourself are coming because of who he is. Everybody with me on here? And here's something I had to realize as I'm going through this, thinking my way through it. I've never known a time when I haven't been a sinner. And I look at life through sinner's eyes. You follow where I'm coming from? So I look at God's sovereignty sometimes saying, that's not right. That's not fair. He shouldn't be that way. Just like I might have done with my own parents, who, by the way, did that to their own parents, who, by the way, did that to their own parents and all the way back. You follow where I'm coming from? So when I look at the attributes of God, I realize I'm looking at the attributes as twisted in me. So when I want to look back and see what were Adam and Eve like, I want to make sure that I'm not looking at them as my twisted way of doing things. They weren't. When he first created them, they were without twist. Can you even imagine somebody like that? I mean, that's the wonder and beauty of the Lord Jesus Christ. He is without a twist. And it's hard for me to imagine what a couple is like. What did he have in mind when he created them? What were they to be? What were they going to be? Well, we know what the scriptures tell us what they were, that they were created in his image, and he blessed them and said, be fruitful and multiply. So whatever that is, God is like that. You follow that? How do I know that God is fruitful? Look at the whole earth. He set up everything. He's creating this stuff, and he's created it to be fruitful so it'll keep on multiplying and multiplying. That is God. And when we're doing that, we're glorifying God because we're doing things the way God does them. Does that make sense to you? That's just glorifying God. Now, I had to ask myself a question. They are partakers of the divine nature. They're in the image of God. They are cooperating with God. They are, if I can say this word without offending anybody, Elohim. Now, watch where we're coming from. As you know, we have talked here, the big Hebrew word for God is Elohim. And every time I write Elohim on my computer, it because of autocorrect, it always, I'll just write it out as little E-L-O, it always corrects it for me. No, Elohim is capital E. Because that is the name of God. And it isn't the name of God. It's the nature of God. It's what God is. Remember he created all these other beings that are up there as well? Remember what he called them? Small E Elohim. When you are a disembodied spirit yourself, my friend, you know what you are? An Elohim. You're a human when you get a body. Is that making sense to you? Adam and Eve were godlike creatures. Now, as I say that, don't panic, okay? They can't be God. Why? They're created by God. But they have his attributes. What are you going to call it when they're that? They are going to be godlike creatures on the earth. Everybody with me? What was he planning for them? Why is it that there's only one area that's known as the garden and the rest of the area is known as the wilderness? We can know what he said he was going to do. With them, they were supposed to be fruitful, multiply, and they were supposed to subdue the whole earth. By subduing it, they're supposed to make that whole earth the Garden of Eden, all over it. Were they to do that alone? No, because they're partakers of the divine nature. He was going to be working with them. So here's what I came to understand. Adam and Eve were working, co-laboring with God in redoing this whole earth. Everybody with me okay on that? They were co-laboring with God to do what they're going to do on this earth. Why? Because they're in the image of God. They're representing him, and he gave them authority to do that. Everybody with me on this so far? Now, why is this important? Because in our timeline, kids, that's back here. Then there's sin, and then in our timeline, there's restoration. What are you going to look like? What are you going to be like when you get out here? Because I know where you are right now, you still have this kind of a body. That's a part of what fell back here in this. Everybody with me? Now, we're not going to get all Gnostic on this thing here and say, the only thing good about you is your spirit. The body's evil, so just forget it. We're not going to go there because that's not true. God created this body for you to live in, and he calls on each one of us to treat this body as the temple of the Holy Spirit. What does that mean? That means inside of you there is a Holy Spirit living, right? Is the Holy Spirit divine? Yes, it is. So what's living in you and what are we really like? Let me go on further with you. How many of you are totally confused right now and you're hoping we'll get on this pretty quick? You keep looking at that clock and say, I hope it's right. It's got to be 40 minutes, man. Get up there. Here's what I'm saying. He made us like the angels, except we live on earth in bodies. Does that make sense? Think with me here. When he created this, takes this dust and forms it up, puts it into a body frame, what does he put in it to bring it to life? His own breath. Is that divine breath or not? Yes. So this thing that's in his image, and may I say this, that is the image of Christ. Everybody follow me? Now watch this. We say, the image of God doesn't mean we look like him. Here's creation, and back here is eternity past. Does God have a plan in mind for what he's going to do? Yes, totally, totally. Does the second person of the Trinity have something he knows he's going to be? Yes. And the image that the second person Trinity is going to be the image that you and I are made after. So we're going to know he's not made after our image when he comes in time here. We're made after his image here when we're made. Does that make any sense? And I want to do that because I don't want us to be Gnostic. I don't want us to think that it's all about spirit. It's just about spirit. It isn't. God has created the whole earth. That's why he's given you a body back. That's why you're going to have a resurrection. This is a part of what this world's all about. This is a part of what he had in mind for us. So he's put his divine spirit into a body, an earthly body. That doesn't make the body ugly and nasty. That makes it simply be the temple that the Spirit of God dwells in. Everybody with me? All right. Let me go on further with you. Was he finished with them? Were they the completed project when he's done? When Adam and Eve are created, is that the finished product? Well, certainly I know this. They're in the image of God, right? But are they all they're going to be? Let me see if I can ask it another way. When that baby is born and in a manger, is that baby all it's going to be? No. No, it's not. Is it fully God? Yes. Is he fully man? Yes. Is he all he's going to be? No. Why? Because he's got to come out of that crib, and he's got to grow and learn and grow and learn to become mature. Everybody with me? So the question came to my mind, what happened then with Adam and Eve? Back here, as they co-labor with him, as they work together with him in ruling the earth and in creating all kinds of things, as he's creating with them, they are becoming what they're supposed to be. Here's the big offense. Suppose you could have someone come along and short-circuit the whole process. What if you had someone who would come along and say, I know you're going to be Elohims, but if you eat from that tree right there, you'll short the whole process. You'll already be Elohim. You won't have to learn anything by going through all that stuff with God. He knows that you'll be equal with him if you only eat over here. And they ate. You follow where I'm at? That shorts the process. Because the process that should have been co-laboring with the Holy Spirit and becoming more and more what you're supposed to be every day would have been God's plan for that. Now, the reason I want you to see this is because it isn't any different with you today. What's he doing with you today? When he gave you your new birth, when you were born again, when a new person was born in you, are you all you're going to be? No, I can say this. You are secured and guaranteed at that moment to be living out there. You know what he said? He said, it's so sure that I predestine you to be conformed to the image of my son. He said, I got this thing marked out. I have you. But I'm not going to kill you right now and take you there. I'm leaving you here. Why? Because I'm going to let you have problems, and I'm going to let you have joys, and I'm going to let you know people, and I'm going to have you loving people that are not lovely. I am going to have you answering questions that you never thought to ask. I am going to conform you to the image of my son because I'm going to work with you just as I intended with Adam and Eve, just as I did with the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm going to work with you until I have you at this point that you are conformed to the image of my son, and that when that day of the final adoption takes place and your body is redeemed, you are going to look just like the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what he had in mind for us. And the more I thought about that, I thought, duh, why did I not know that? It's not like he didn't say it. Let me take you through some of the things here, because I want to show you how this little short-circuiting process really damages. Letter B, his role is to act as the ambassador of God, representing him in the acts of dominion, provision, care, and cooperation with all things on the earth. So what's he supposed to do? He only had this one job. There's no mention of, listen, I want you to go to war with everybody. No mention of that. Listen, I want you to fight with somebody. No mention of that. Govern the world. No mention of that. I want you to create a democracy. No mention of any of that. What are you supposed to do? Take care of the earth. Do it just like I'm doing. I want you to co-labor with me, and together we're going to build this whole new creation that is just filled with the glory of God. Let's work together, kid. And that husband and wife were supposed to work together with him to create all of that stuff. Everybody okay with that? Now, does that sound too made up for you? I hope it's not too fictional to take you off. They're going to work together. It's only as the process was short-circuited by the things they did to distrust him that process changes. Now, let me go on. Letter C. He and his wife are the first model, but they are not the pattern. The Christ is the pattern. And by blessing, other models will follow in their image. So this is the first model, and this model is after the pattern of Christ. Now, this model is going to keep having models. And they're going to be modeled after this one's image. Now watch. if they had remained in the glory they were established in, all of their offspring would have been in the glory of what they were. Why? Because his rule was everything after its kind. But when they fell from him and distrust changed who they were, changed their person, the children they're going to have are modeled after their image. Everybody with me? That's why he's going to say of Seth, in the image of his father Adam. Everybody with me? Doesn't say in the image of God, even though they are in the image of God. There's no doubt about it, because that's what the person is. But from then on, because they lost the glory, we're all going to be like them with lost glory. The story of history is how people attempt to get that glory and power back. How do we get to have it? How do I get that glory and power back again? Let's go further with me. They are given enough freedom to make choices within the sovereign field God has designed for them. Again, free will. Do they have free will? No, they don't have free will. Let me see if I can show you what it is. God has free will. He can choose what part of the cosmos he wants to be in at any given moment. He's in all of them any given moment. He can choose which one he wants to be aware of. He's got free will. I can tell you this. Your will is set within the box that God's given you to work in. And you're free to make all kinds of choices in there. It's like I think I've probably told you before, my father moved us from Independence, Missouri, living in the suburban area, to Harrison, Arkansas, where we were on a farm. And on the farm, he decided the boys need to have milk. And to have milk, you got to have cows. And to have cows, you're going to have to feed them and take care of them. And then you're going to milk them and all that good stuff. Well, it was one of my chores to milk them, is to make sure that they did get milked. And, man, look, we could have butter, we could have cream, we could have ice cream, we could have milk, and have all kinds of good stuff from those cows. But the cows didn't always like coming up to the barn. Sometimes they were opposed to coming up to the barn. Especially when it was spring and the grass was really green, and they would just sit there and stare at me. I'd come home from school thinking, oh, no, 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 no. It's spring. I got to go get the cows. I know I'm going to have to go get the cows. They're not going to come up. So I give the call, whoo, the cows, the cows. And they look up at me, grass hanging out both sides, and they say, what? Look here, I got grain. No thanks. And little calves run around with them. You know, you got to have calves, you're not going to have milk. And little calves run around with them there, kicking around and carrying on, and then seeing that cow with a big udder trying to kick like that cow. Oh, just nuts. And I knew I was going to have to change them, and here was the beautiful thing. I would, as angry as I get about the whole thing, as upset I'd get about the whole thing, because it could take me 2 hours to get them back to the barn. Here's one thing I was really grateful for. Dad built a fence. Dad built a fence. And it's in that fence. They had free will in that fence. If Dad hadn't put the fence there, they'd be in Bellefonte. I'd be chasing them to the mountaintop. They'd be going wherever. But Dad built a fence. And let me tell you, in your life, you have free will within the field he has given you. But you don't have free will in somebody else's field. You follow where I'm at? So, you got all kinds of free will in here. Now, I didn't appreciate their free will, because they went every place else but the barn, all right? But I knew this. Sooner or later, we're going to barn. Sooner or later, kids, you're going to look like Jesus. Well, Adam and Eve failed the test. And here's the lie. They failed the test because of the short circuit. You can be equal with God. You can have power. You can have equal power with God. You can have power to choose anything you want to do. You have the power to do anything you want to do if you just eat this one tree. Just eat from this one tree. It's yours. Now go on. The means that people have used to get that power back again, to look like God, to be the powerful people, and to recapture the power they thought they had when we were created, they used chemicals. That's how you modify your perception. If you can see the world differently, maybe the world will be different. You can act different in a differently perceived world. So you ingest chemicals into you. The tree was a chemical they ingested, hoping they would see things differently and be different. Secondly, it was through genetic modification. By the time the sons of God saw the daughters of men, they thought, we'll genetically modify the people, and they thought they would be powerful. The people thought they'd be powerful people if they had relations and had children and offspring from the angels. That was a disaster as well. It did not restore to them power. The chemistry did not restore them power. Number three, letter C, was technology. They thought that if they could build their own cities, their own things, they could have their own will, they could be their own God. And so they built the Tower of Babel as a technological advance over what had been going on, and they used that. And then we said last week, letter D, is through giving personality to the inorganic, giving personality to the inorganic. And we said, that's what idolatry is. When you can make something out of wood or stone or metals or whatever else, and then you can say it's got personality, allegedly that gives you new power of things that you can do. And rituals followed from that, shamanistic rituals, all kinds of things followed from that. But as I was looking at this, I realized the church. Remember, as we were going through Revelation 2 and 3, and you could see the church was modifying itself some way or another, that Jesus was calling it to repent and change its way? I want to share with you something that happened along the way. When the early church started, nope, better not do that, it looks like creation. When the early church started, I'll do it over here, okay? The early church started. As it's starting, it's got one simple thing: faith in the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. It has no hierarchy. It has no structure. It has no buildings. It's got none of that. And it began to work its way with those things. Matter of fact, the churches were united only by the gifts they were given to each other. You didn't have a church council get together in Asia and talk things over. No. The only church council that ever met was the one that was in Jerusalem, and that was to say, man, what is God doing? You know, when you back off and look at it, when they met together, they're trying to figure out, Peter, you did what? We know you went and ate with a Gentile. What in the world are you thinking? Well, I got to tell you guys, he invited me over, and God told me I got to go, so I went, and I shared with him the gospel. And he got saved. Guys, it was just like what we did. Huh? What's God doing? And you got Philip and saying, hey, look, guys, I don't know, but it looks like the Samaritans got saved. They're going to check on what's God doing. Can I say this? They're finding out what God's doing. They are co-laboring with the Spirit of God, because they are inhabited by the Spirit of God, and they're co-laboring with Him to recognize what God's doing, not declare what God should be doing. That's all this was. But as it got further and further away from that very primitive, simple gospel, they began to create for themselves hierarchies. Hierarchies. This bishop is better than that bishop, and these bishops get together, and now their unified decision means this is what the gospel is. Never did Christ set up any of that. As a matter of fact, he told us just the opposite. Don't do hierarchies. Don't do ranges of authority. Let the one who's greatest among you be your servant. That's what you're supposed to be doing. And that's what they had been doing. But when they set this up, they now took on a new power. And kids, if I can say it this way, they changed the gospel. They changed the gospel. And they used some of the very processes I'm talking to you about right here. Now watch what happened. They made that which was inorganic have personality. Watch. If this was that churches of the 2nd, 3rd century, 4th century more really, then there would be a table up here. And I would have the function of saying some words and doing some rituals right here that are about to take that which is inorganic and make it personal. And what I would do, I would say some words and I'd pick up one of those inorganic parts. I'd hold it up and say, this now belongs to God. This is God. And it'd come back down. And what went up as bread came back down as a living body. Literally. Are you with me? Came back down as a living body. That is now the body of Christ. And it took the cup and with a few ritual words said, this cup, which was inorganic, is now personal. It is the living blood of Christ, real blood of Christ. Everybody follow where I'm at? And now I'm going to tell you that chemistry will change you. I will tell you that chemicals are going to change you. What am I going to do? I'm going to give you these things which are inorganic. And I'm going to give them to you in a way that the chemistry of it is going to change you. It will give you grace and begin to change who you are. And the more of this you take, the more godly you're going to become. Everybody see where I'm coming from? This is how you recapture your power. This is how you recapture the image of God we were in. And faith in Christ was leaving. Everybody with me on this? Guys, it's the same old pattern that had been done before. And the church became pagan. It's going to take years for it to regain its thought. It's going to take years for it to regain what it's supposed to be doing. God's Spirit is going to move. But even when they're regaining it, they couldn't leave behind some of the ritual that had been in it. Those were the means. Let me go with you to the next. Now, page 2. And that's when God sent the truth. That's when God sent the truth. Now, God progressively revealed himself. Here's what I made you as before. Now you are fallen. And God begins to speak through prophets, begins to speak through patriarchs, begins to speak through people that he has called to himself, and he begins to tell the truth about one day I am bringing someone into this world that is going to alter everything in you. That one is going to cause you to be born again, cause you to be a new person. Everybody see where I'm coming from? He's telling the truth. I am not finished with this world here. I could have destroyed everything right here and started again. That's not what I'm doing. What I'm doing instead, I am going to bring it all back here in a restored way, and I'm taking you through this channel in history to get it done. I'm working in time, this in the time element here to get that done. This is where we're headed. But to get there, I can't take you there as this people here because you really have lost the image. I am real or marred the image. I am really going to have to change you internally. I'm going to have to change you completely to make that work. Let me go to the letter B. He foretold through the ages of his coming Messiah that would deliver the whole cosmos in his time. His Messiah would redeem the cosmos from its ruin and give it a whole new creation with a new order of beings to populate it and sustain it. Do you hear that? That's real critical for you to get. It's going to create a whole new earth and cosmos out here, and he's going to populate it with people who are new people. They're not the same people they were before. Something has to change in them to make them people that can be in that restored world. What's it going to do? It's going to take them back to what we originally created as. And you're going to do it by recreating us in the image of God, the Lord Jesus Christ. All right, now watch as I share some more things with you here. Letter D, he would restore people to their proper role as sons of God, partakers of the divine nature, through a total union with Jesus, God in the flesh. He would restore the whole cosmos and bring it into peace with God. Living in the peace of God, men would rule in their proper role as lords of the earth. Now, I'm going to just share scriptures with you. I don't want you just this time not to try to read along at all because I'm not going to give you the time to look them all up. But I am going to ask you to simply think with me Here are scriptures, what God says he's done with you and I. And in saying this is what he's done with you and I want you to think for yourself, then what am I supposed to be? Where am I headed with all this? Fair enough? So just listen. Listen to what he had to say. John 1, 12 and 13. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name, who were born not of blood, not of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. In other words, they're not born by any of these rituals. They're not born by any of those things you can go through. They're not born by you thinking better. They're not born by you having more children. They are born, he says, of God. John 3, there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. This man came to Jesus by night and said to him, Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him. Jesus answered and said to him, most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Listen, by saying that, he admitted that there's something already wrong enough with us that we can't see the kingdom of God unless some dramatic change takes place. Watch how he says it further. Nicodemus said to him, how can a man be born when he's old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of flesh is flesh. That which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not marvel, I said to you, you must be born again. The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear the sound of it, but you cannot tell where it comes from, where it goes. So is everyone who is born of the Spirit. Now, here I'm going to emphasize this. One, it's being born again. Two, it's being born of God. It's being born of the Spirit. Those are divine, are they not? That is God doing this thing. All right, follow with me further. I think I'll end it right there. Ephesians 4:24, speaking to Christians, says this, and that you put on the new man which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. You're supposed to put on a new man. Why can't I just be the old man nicer? Why can't I just try a little harder to be a sweetheart? Why do I have to go through all this born again stuff? Why do I have to be, why does the old guy in me have to die? He's a pretty good guy. I've lived with him a long time. Why has he got to die? Because he doesn't like me. Because he's opposed to me. And I can't have you in that one if you're the old guy. And I want you with me forever. But you can't go this way. You got to be a new guy. You know what that means? I'm going to have to accept that I'm a new guy. I will not put that on if I don't think that really took place. I will not try to be any different if I think that took place. And here's where I do think it makes a difference, what you say to yourself every day. If you keep saying you're a sinner saved by grace, you'll excuse your nasty behavior over and over again. But if you stop saying that and say, I'm a child of God, born of God, born of the Spirit, then I know that you'll live up to that level. But I know you're always going to live to the level that you believe you are. And if you're going to believe that you're just a sinner saved by grace, I know what you're doing. You're making an excuse for yourself. You're just saying, I can go ahead and do any nasty thing I want to, and God was just going to forgive it anyway. And you'll never rise to another level. You'll never rise to the level, can I say this, that Adam and Eve were supposed to have as they co-labored with the Holy Spirit to fill this earth with the glory of God, working with him. They were on their way to becoming partakers of the divine nature. They were on their way to becoming what God was creating them to be. But as long as they accepted something else about themselves, all the kids they're going to have are going to be just like them. And don't misunderstand what I'm saying. I didn't say you think different about yourself, you be different. I know this. If you think different about yourself, you'll have your motivation changed. You cannot just think differently and be different. You have to be born again. And you have to accept that you have been born again, and that is the way you live. All right, let me go on further. Ephesians 2:10. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus. What does that mean? Man, the more I thought about that, I said, whoa. I'm not the same old guy I was anymore then. Something's different about me. I've been created in Christ Jesus. I am the workmanship of God. God has created me in that image. That's what I am. He says, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Watch this. This is not a heady thing that's going on. He's saying this. You're created in Christ Jesus in order that you're going to do these kind of works. That puts the cart in the right place. You are born again, then you do. You don't do in the hope you can be born again. Everybody follow that? I know you follow it. This is a good old justification talk, but here's the deal. People of our stripe often just see that whole thing as a legal procedure. They just see us as going to court and God declaring you not guilty anymore because you trusted Jesus. End of story. It is not end of story. Because God declared you not guilty because of the Lord Jesus Christ, you've been created in his image unto good works that he already said, this is what you're to do. So there was something that's to follow for that justified person. That's called sanctification. If I can say it this way, the Eastern Orthodox Church calls it theosis. The Roman Catholic Church calls it deification. People of our stripe call it progressive sanctification. But kids, it all has a destination. Now, the means of grace coming from the two I just mentioned are not the gospel, all right? I'm telling you a process, not how what actually works. What I'm trying to tell you is that through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, he's conforming you to this image of Jesus. And you're going through all the problems and challenges you're going through because that's what he has in mind. If I can say it without seeming blasphemous to you, you are becoming the God you're supposed to be. Now, those of you who are listening and are Mormon, no, I did not say you're God because you say you're going to be essentially God. You're changing your whole essence. You're becoming God that way. No, you're not. You can't. You're always a created thing. But there is an Elohim-powered individual that you're supposed to be. Listen to what Jesus said. These works that I do, you will do, and greater works than these because I go to the Father. What did he mean by that? Well, I look at it and say, that's not possible with me, so I can't do that. And I short the process. Let me go on further with you. Colossians 1:27. To them God willed to make known what are the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Do you hear that? That's the hope of glory. That's what we had back here that got lost. This was the glory we were living in, and now in Christ, that glory has been restored to us. Why? Because this glory here was the image of God. It was the glory of God that we were clothed in. That's why we didn't know we were naked. We're clothed in the glory of God. But once we have distrusted him and the glory is gone, you're left with nothing. That's why they had to clothe themselves real quickly. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Ephesians 2:4. But God, who is rich in his mercy because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. Not simply by Christ, but with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and watch this, and raised us up together and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Where does God see you today? This, while you're sitting right here, he sees you seated in heaven with Jesus at the right hand of the Father because you are in Christ Jesus. Kids, you can't be in Christ Jesus without being a partaker of the divine nature. Colossians 3:1, and if you are therefore raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth. For you died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. Where's your life? It's in Christ with God, okay? And you, when Christ, who is our life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. You're sharing the glory of Christ. That's where we're ultimately headed, kid. You're sharing the glory of Christ. And what are we doing in between here and there? Here in between here and there, we're supposed to be doing all things to the glory of God. Not using our old perspective of how to do things. Listen, a challenge comes, so right away we say, oh boy, a challenge. Oh no. This is going to be the disaster. Stop. You can look at it and say, glory to God. What has he got in mind now? Man, this is going to be a big step. I can see that one. Last week, I thought I took a lot of little steps, but boy, this week, okay, Father, this is what we got in mind. I want to be just like Jesus. Let's go. Thank you, Father, for the opportunity to be conformed to the image of your Son. Hallelujah. Titus chapter 1, verse 2 says that God said to people, in hope of eternal life, which God, who cannot lie, promised before time began. Was it his plan? Yes, eternal life. Eternal life was planned. When was it planned? Before here. Back here in the eternity past, he was planning for you to be in glory eternally with him, sharing his glory eternally with him. And you're in process right now. Now, look, if the possibility didn't exist that you could do that, then he wouldn't have said that. But it does exist. You can handle life differently than we're used to handling it. All right? Let me go on further. He talked about promise before time began. Look at this. And by which ye have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these promises, you may be partakers of the divine nature. Partakers of the, you're sharing in the life of God, having escaped the corruption that's in the world through lust. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Get the picture. You're walking along in this same old world when God confronts you. You're living just like everybody else is. Would God confront you about your life, about who you are, about who Christ is, and yanks you out of this life, pulls you into a whole new life, and says, now I am giving you power and authority to live a new way. We've been given that, kids. That's what he did when he snatched us out of this world and put us in Christ Jesus. We have a whole new way of living now. You're a new creature in Christ. Old things are passing away. Now you can look and see that as John put it, that the whole form of this world is passing away, he said. That's 2,000 years ago. The whole form of this world is passing away, and the new is beginning. Kids, we're right on this precipice where the last part of the old is about to die, and the new part's beginning. You're a child of God. Wow. Let me finish up. John 17:20, I do not pray for these alone, Jesus said, but also for those who will believe in me through their word. Do you hear that? He prayed for the disciples he was with the night he's going to be betrayed and the night before he was crucified. And he said, I'm praying for these guys right here, but not just for these. I'm praying for the Doug Whites who will believe 2,000 years from now. I'm praying for the Gordon Neals 2,000 years from now who are going to believe because of this word right here. And listen to what he said. That they all may be one. Are you hearing that? I just got tied together with the disciples that night who were in prayer with him, the ones he was praying. I just got tied together with them, and here I am out here, and I'm tied together with them. And then I look up and I realize I'm tied together with a whole bunch of folk. There's a whole bunch of people he snatched out of this thing and said, yup, 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 put us all together. And he said, I'm making them one. Okay, that'd be great if we just meant we're all in the same club. But watch where he does. This is just that they all may be one as you, Father are in me. Wow, so at least I have the model now. I know it's supposed to be like that. So that's how you and I are supposed to be together, tied to all those people since 2,000 years ago. We're all tied together in that one big group there. But now it's supposed to be modeled like the one that Jesus and the Father are in. Wow, that's good. That they also may be one, watch this, in us, that the world may believe that you sent me. So it's not just that he's making this little holy club and he's making them all one, but he's taking that holy club and putting all of them in us, in the Father and the Son. You just got in a union with the living God. Think what that means. Let me go on further with you, because if he'd been finished, disciples, if they'd heard it, would have been happy. It says, and the glory which you gave me, I have given them, that they may be one just as we are one. Oh my goodness. I in them and you in me, that they may be made perfect in one, that the world may know that you have sent me and have loved them as you have loved me. Father, I desire that they also whom you gave me may be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory which you have given me, for you have loved me from before the foundation of the world. What? I want them to be with me. Father, I am about to have the glory restored to me that I had before I set it aside to die for these people. And now I'm about to have that glory back. I'm going to be seated at your right hand. So here's what I'm asking. All these people who have believed in me that I've now got in this holy club, all those people right there that I just dumped into both me and you, I'm going to ask that they be with us together forever. Do you realize what we are? Does it scare you to say that? We are becoming the Elohim he made us to be. Kids, that's a powerful thing. It just scares us to death that we're becoming gods. The difference was, that's what it was here before it was short-circuited, the tree, and returned to us at another tree. The tree of the cross. So that now, yes, what we were intended to be is going to happen. Forever. And you're right now in that process of going through all of that. So I want to encourage you to do this. You say to yourself, I'm a child of God. Empowered by the Spirit of God. Living by the Christ of God. Forgiven fully by the Father. I'm not what I was before. All things have passed away, and now all things are becoming new to me. I don't have to respond to things the way I've been responding to them at all. I have the power of the Spirit of God. I can respond differently. I can respond in a way that is divine, because I'm a partaker of the divine nature through the promises that God gave to me. It makes a big difference in the way you live, kids. I promise. Make a big difference in the way you live. Father, thank you so much for the Lord Jesus Christ. We talked about heavy stuff here today, Father. I ask in the name of Jesus that you'll take all the information, the biblical stuff that we've looked at, Father, and make it real to us. I acknowledge a weak vessel. Acknowledge that I may have said things in a way that's not proper or whatever. Father, I'm asking in the name of Jesus that you'll take this great truth that's found in the Word of God and bring it home to our hearts, that we might be the people that need to be here in a crazy world, a world that's lost its path, that has no idea where it's going, and seems to be hell-bent on doing it. I ask, Father, in the name of Jesus, that you grant that we might be the people of God we were called to be. In Christ's name, amen. Now, I don't know if you've ever put your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ or not, but I'd like to encourage you, if you have not, today would be a great day to be born again. I can't think of a better day than today. The day looks like it's just got your name written all over it. If you're not born again today, you can be born again. Amen. Put your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, not in yourself, not in any ritual, not in any memberships, not in anything else. Put it in the Lord Jesus Christ today. Thank you. And now God's richest blessing be upon you. Let God's Spirit fill you this week and take you to places that you never imagined before. May the challenges you have this week be received with thanksgiving and full blessing. And let God bless you and build up your life this week in power. Let's look to the Lord in prayer. Father, thank you so much for the Lord Jesus Christ, for his goodness to us, for his kindness to us, for the mercy you've shown to us, for making us new creatures, for giving us a brand new life. And thank you for the new world that's coming. Thank you for the hope that's laid up for us. Thank you for the faith you've granted to us, and thank you for the love you've given us that we can spread to our brothers and sisters. So teach us this week to love our brothers and sisters. We will thank you for it all. In Christ's name and for his sake. Amen.
We hope God has encouraged you with today's message by Pastor White. Thank you for joining us at the Edgemont Bible Church. We'd love to have you visit us if you're ever in the area. For directions, more information, or to support the ministry of Edgemont Bible Church, please go to our website at edgemontbiblechurch.org. That's Edgemont Bible Church, all one word, .org. You can also follow us on Facebook at Edgemont Bible Church, where the Sunday morning message is broadcast live.